Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this segment we're going to continue with our discussion of a mysterious German company which, in effect, had become sort of a state within a state in the African nation of Zaire in the 1970s. This company was called OTRAG, that's spelled O-T-R-A-G, and its roots go back to the Nazi rocket scientists whom the United States utilized in under Project Paperclip after World War II. Of course, those scientists, perhaps the most famous of whom was Wernher von Braun, an officer in the SS, those scientists in many ways became the foundation and the core of the early American space program. Many of those same Nazi rocket scientists and related elements became the driving forces behind the then West German company OTRAG, which leased approximately 30,000 square miles of Zaire and which had total sovereignty over that area. OTRAG was, to a certain extent at least, involved with the development of rocket launchers, ostensibly for the peaceful placing of satellites into orbit. However, as one of the officials with that company admitted, that was basically dual-use technology. Those rockets could also be used for military purposes, and that was illegal, according to the then West German governmental policy at the time. The discussion on OTRAG is taken from the book Emerging Viruses. That book is subtitled AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. Emerging Viruses was authored by Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz, H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z. It's published in hardcover by Tetrahedron Incorporated, copyright 1996. There's an 800 number that retail book outlets can call in order to obtain Emerging Viruses. That number is 1-800-336-9266. That's 1-800-336-9266. The excerpt that you're about to hear was recorded on January 5th of 1997, and we're going to proceed with our discussion of OTRAG, which may have been used for the development of biological warfare weapons, including possibly AIDS and other immune-destroying organisms. That was a line of speculation that was introduced in the first of these segments on the other side of this cassette. Here is the rest of the discussion concerning OTRAG taken from Emerging Viruses. Continuing now with our discussion of OTRAG coming from Emerging Viruses. Additional evidence for this conclusion came from U.S. Representative W. Tapley Bennett, Jr., B-E-N-N-E-T-T, who stood before the U.N. General Assembly on October 18, 1976. The congressman then defined OTRAG's market and indirectly linked OTRAG to German-American efforts to develop space programs for USAID, NASA, and NATO. He noted, quote, "The year 1976 has been an active and peaceful year both in outer space and in the U.N. Committee of the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. During the past year, the United States has continued to participate cooperatively with other nations in the exploration of outer space. We have, for example, launched Helios 2, built by the Federal Republic of Germany, the second scientific satellite to investigate the properties of interplanetary space close to the sun. In January, we launched the CTS, the Communications Technology Satellite, an experimental high-powered communications satellite developed jointly with Canada. In cooperation with the Agency for International Development, or USAID, I would interject a frequent vehicle for U.S. covert operations, using the ATS-6 satellite, Applications Technology Satellite, NASA is currently conducting demonstrations of the applications of space-age technology for the benefit of developing countries. These demonstrations will be seen in 27 countries in Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and Latin America. And regarding the Zaire project, Bennett said, "This year, the Scientific and Technical Subcommittee has again noted that the Landsat system continues to provide the international community with data and experience in the new field of remote sensing by satellite. The Economic Commission for Africa has just endorsed a comprehensive training and station development program for Africa, and the European Space Agency has formulated a plan for rationalizing Landsat data acquisition and use in Europe. Zaire will be acquiring data on a regional basis." The fact is, the Helios 2 project that Bennett alleged was built by, quote, the Federal Republic of Germany, unquote, was actually developed by the OTRAG-linked Messerschmitt-Bolkow-Blohm company from Munich. According to Messerschmitt literature, their company built Helios A and B, the German-American solar probes, unquote. In summary, OTRAG had arrived at the right place at the right time to succeed financially and in every other way in serving NATO's interests. The evidence showed that USAID maintained connections to NASA and NATO, and all three had acted on Kissinger's behest in Zaire at the time OTRAG leased a sizable share of the country. Run by ex-Nazis, Debus, who had directed Cape Kennedy, Gompertz, who presided over NASA's Chrysler Space Division, AUTRAG's founder, Lutz Kaiser, whose ties to NASA and NATO leaders on both sides of the Atlantic and connections to America's top military industrial firms were both evident and unsettling. Moreover, this knowledge fueled my suspicion that AUTRAG was related to Litton Bionetics in a way Belitsky had not mentioned. Kaiser, as an Apollo space program consultant with, like Kissinger, ties to Boeing, may have purchased military hardware from Litton Industries as he had from Boeing. Being a major military contractor, it seemed logical that Litton Industries might have supplied satellite technology along with reagents for biological weapons research to AUTRAG. Given AUTRAG's link to Messerschmitt, I thought, which after World War II had contributed greatly to the fund administered by Martin Bormann, Hitler's deputy and Third Reich party chief, Kaiser was likely part of the Kameradenwerk and possibly even a member of the SMOM. Of course, the SMOM is the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, basically a lay military order within the church and extremely powerful and very closely connected to the forces of fascism. The fund administered here is the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, the economic component of what I call the Underground Reich, administered by Martin Bormann, the leader of the Underground Reich, literally a Reich in exile which controlled not only the former West Germany, now Germany as a whole, but much of the rest of the world as well. Continuing, in either case, he was undoubtedly among the 900 or so scientists drafted by Army Intelligence under Project Paperclip. Later, I discussed these findings with Jackie. Could AUTRAG have been a NATO or CIA front, she asked. I decided to search for answers. I began my search for additional evidence connecting the CIA to AUTRAG by reviewing what I knew about the latter. Kaiser had leased 29,000 square miles of eastern Zaire to do any kind of military experiments, anything they wanted with the territory's 760,000 African villagers called home. Next, I considered the place and time, 1975, at the height of the CIA's paramilitary operations in that exact region. AUTRAG, I realized, could have served as a front for several covert CIA and NATO operations, including military and satellite surveillance over MPLA forces in Angola, tactical nuclear weapons buildup, scientific efforts to help Gallo and his Litton Bionetics colleagues develop and test the immune-altering viruses ordered by Kissinger through the Department of Defense for Project MK Naomi, helping Hilleman, that's Maurice Hilleman at Merck and Manacker at the NCI, helping Hilleman at Merck and Manacker at the NCI develop and test experimental cancer vaccines for populations at high risk for viral infections, bringing new technology to Zaire as the Western Allies promised, and enhancing NATO and NASA communication systems through the development of ERTS. During my next U of I, University of Illinois library excursion, I learned that a year before Debus left his directorship of Cape Canaveral to head AUTRAG's experimental military base in Zaire, Horst Emke, the Minister of the Federal Republic of Germany for Research and Technology, paid the United States a visit. A joint statement issued simultaneously in Washington and Bonn noted that from March 2nd to 8th, 1974, Emke had met with American officials, quote, to discuss common interests in the programs and plans of both countries in science and technology research and development. Among the notables were the Honorable Roy L. Ash, Director of Office of Management and Budget and Litton Industries Incorporated President, the Honorable Edward M. Kennedy, U.S. Senator and then NATO, and at that time NATO Vice President, the Honorable William J. Casey, Undersecretary of State for Economic Affairs and future CIA Director, and the Honorable H. Guyford Stever, S-T-E-V-E-R, Director, National Science Foundation, the Honorable James C. Fletcher, Administrator, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, the Honorable Helmut Sonnenfeld, Counselor of the State Department of State, and in parentheses, and Kissinger's National Security Council appointee. MK, the release said, also visited the gaseous diffusion enrichment facility at Oak Ridge and the research and development facilities of the Oak Ridge National Laboratories, unquote, the site of numerous horrific chemical weapons experiments, cancer virus research studies, and related international conferences. Here, besides traditional fields of cooperation in nuclear energy development and in space research and technology, unquote, the German-American contingent considered other areas, quote, particularly appropriate, unquote, for joint investments. Biomedical research and technology was among the most pressing. Obviously, then, Roy Ash had lobbied for Litton firms to play a major role in the German-American exchange. So Litton Bionetics was likely an industrial intermediary in the AUTRAG Nazi connection. This made perfect sense. Kissinger was Ash's alternate for the National Security Council directorship following his service to General Bolling and Rockefeller. The former directed Project Paperclip to take advantage of the Nazis' most advanced aerospace and biological weapons developers. Rockefeller's bank received much of the Nazi war chest. So it made sense that Debus and company might be called upon to take charge of Kissinger's most urgent Third World exercise. Quote, "You can't create a new world order with the old Germans, with Hitler and all that," argued Klaus Barbie's colleague Alfredo Mingola in 1982. The fanatical Nazi and admitted CIA agent assigned to infiltrate Reverend Moon's Unification Church added, quote, "You have to find something modern, viral weapons, and unquote. Viral weapons and Star Wars certainly fit the bill. Nazi researchers, I realized, were perfect for Autrag's assignments. Besides their brilliance in chemical engineering, aerospace, and germ warfare, they established the field of seroepidemiology. They examined all human blood types to determine varying susceptibilities to different diseases. The purpose was, of course, to develop a superhuman race, freedom from the mundane illnesses that attack those of lesser purity. Autrag's assignment to develop monkey viruses that were, quote, capable of such rapid replication that they could completely destabilize the human immune system, unquote, as Belitsky charged, seemed perfectly suited for Nazi research. I also realized that the Marburg and Ebola fast-acting viruses did just that. I tried to fathom the relationship between Gallo's work and Autrag's based on Belitsky's report. Recalling that before 1969, only American organizations stockpiled simian monkey virus, quote, reagents, unquote, for later distribution. I knew the World Health Organization's Reference Center in San Antonio, the National Institute of Health, and the NCI were the original monkey virus suppliers for those qualified to study them. So most likely, I realized, in the early 1970s, Autrag would have needed to get their simian virus testing reagents, their antibodies, cell lines, and other standard viral research requirements from an American source. Most likely from Gallo or some other NCI source, I thought, not only because he was their top gun in retrovirology, but also because he was heavily funded by the Department of Defense through Litton Bionetics. Later on in Len Horowitz's book, he reveals that Litton Bionetics had a complete monopoly over the shipment of monkeys used in laboratory research all over the world, and the epicenter of that monkey operation was in Uganda. Continuing. Indeed, Belitsky's report made the most sense. With it came the realization that Gallo's Biological Weapons Consortium, Litton Bionetics and the National Cancer Institute, Merck, and the New York University Medical Center would have most probably desired a laboratory operating in a remote area of Central Africa where monkeys were plentiful and populations were expendable. I already knew they maintained laboratories in Central Africa, and upon realizing Gallo's group or Bionetics would have needed to supply Autrag's researchers with essential experimental reagents, I reckoned, maybe Autrag was a subcontractor for Gallo or Litton, and if lucky, I'd find a paper trail here as well. It all really does seem to fit, unquote, I said to Jackie the evening before we left for our road trip to Florida. Will you be going back to the library again tomorrow? Yeah, just for a few hours. I need to see if I can find more information about the one organization I know least about, Litton Bionetics. And in the next section of Len Horowitz's book, he documents some of the overlaps between some of the corporate connections to, that appear to figure prominently in the development of AIDS and Autrag and the then West German economy in general. Early the next morning, I began my investigation of Litton Bionetics in the corporate microfiche files of the library. Having read Belitsky's broadcast, along with the Informationsdienst Südliches Afrika report, several times, I realized, quote, based on Secret Service sources, Autrag was an extension of West Germany's arms companies Dornier and Messerschmitt, unquote. So while I was searching the reference literature on Litton looking for ties to Autrag, I decided to investigate these other companies as well to see if their operations paralleled Autrag's or Litton's. Direct evidence, I realized, given that Autrag was to have remained top secret, would probably be classified and therefore unavailable in the reference literature. My Litton Industries search was quickly rewarded. Within a few hours, I held several annual reports the corporation had filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The information included financial statements and moderately detailed corporate operations reports for the years 1976 through 8, the period during which Autrag was receiving the most media attention. I immediately learned that Litton Industries Incorporated, a Delaware corporation with its central office in Roy Ash's hometown of Beverly Hills, California, was highly diversified. Incorporated first in 1953 under the name Electrodynamics Corporation, a year later its name changed to Litton Industries Incorporated. The company, their 1978 report stated, again quoting, ranks as a major industrial corporation serving worldwide markets for commercial, consumer, industrial, and defense-related products. It produces or provides a wide variety of highly competitive products and services which are classified into six major business segments, unquote. These included, in order of their percentage, of $3,653,209,000 in total 1978 sales, 25% business systems and equipment, 20% electronic and electrical products, 17% industrial systems and services, 16% marine engineering and production, 14% advanced electronic systems, and 8% paper, printing, and publishing. As fiscal year 1979 began, the company employed, quote, over 90,000 people, 25% of them outside the United States, principally in West Germany, Canada, France, Italy, and the United Kingdom, unquote. Yet despite its apparent success, the company recorded a, quote, net loss, unquote, that year of $90.8 million, or $2.66 per share, including a $172.9 million after-tax loss from a settlement agreement, unquote, with the Navy. In terms of West German connections, Triumph Adler, Litton's West German subsidiary, the report noted, was responsible for a major increase in corporate earnings. In anticipation of future market growth, Triumph Adler acquired Diehl, D-I-E-H-L, Data Systems of West Germany in April, expanding its business and technological base, unquote, in several fields, including multi-station mini-computers for administrative, technical, scientific, and medical applications, unquote. Litton's German subsidiary, Heliga, in particular, was hailed for having, quote, achieved its fifth consecutive year of outstanding performance as sales of its electronic medical systems grew by more than 15%, unquote. Other relevant parts of their 1976 and 78 reports included, in June of 1976, Litton Bionetics won the fourth renewal of its contract to manage the operations of the National Cancer Institute's Frederick, Maryland Cancer Research Center. More than 750 scientists and support personnel are engaged in intensive basic and applied research at FCRC on the causes, diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of human cancer. Holy smoke, I broke the silence of the library, the revelation that Bionetics managed and operated the entire FCRC for the National Cancer Institute stunned me. By the way, I discussed this information at considerable length in RFA 16, recorded in April of 1986. Continuing with the Litton report, a major thrust in immunologic control of cancer at FCRC recognizes that cancer is not autonomous in its development and growth, and that natural host mechanisms exist. Research approaches have developed new insights into the cell types involved in tumor destruction, as well as the mechanisms of tumor recognition and killing on the cellular and subcellular levels. The program scientists believe this work could lead to practical immunotherapeutic approaches to cancer. Litton Bionetics further expanded its activities in the rapidly growing U.S. and European markets for biosafety testing. New business came from commercial and industrial firms moving to comply with the new U.S. Toxic Substances Control Act, which will soon require the testing of 70,000 industrial chemicals already on the market, as well as the 1,000 or so new ones introduced each year to keep cancer and mutation-causing agents out of the environment. The division's in vitro assays primarily involve Ames-type testing procedures where a specially bred strain of bacteria is exposed to test chemicals in a culture dish. This bacteria mutates at a very rapid rate, making it possible to identify potential carcinogens and mutagens at a relatively inexpensive cost in most cases. Earlier in the year, 1978, Bionetics was awarded a five-year renewal of its contract to manage and operate the Frederick, Maryland Cancer Research Center for the National Cancer Institute, and also began marketing the first product it has developed for clinical testing laboratories, a new test for infectious mononucleosis. Infectious mono, I recalled from my pathology training, was caused by the Epstein-Barr virus, which is also associated with Burkitt's lymphoma and nasopharyngeal carcinoma. All three diseases, along with EBV, were exactly what Gallo's senior Dr. Maneker at the NCI and several other researchers were avidly studying in Central West Africa during the early 1970s, I recall. By the way, Maneker's M-A-N-A-K-E-R. I quickly looked up infectious mononucleosis in a medical reference book. Indeed, the infection was most commonly found in the part of Africa. Quote, a survey in Ghana, Africa, found a seroconversion rate of 85% by age 2, unquote. Burkitt's lymphoma also, quote, occurs predominantly in Africa, unquote, the text noted. And again quoting, and virtually all African children with BL have very high titers to EBV. Nasopharyngeal carcinoma occurs frequently in southern China and northern Africa. Again, there are high titers of antibodies to EBV almost universally, and the genome is found in the tumor cells, unquote. I would also add that Epstein-Barr virus, also when introduced into the system of somebody that has HIV, causes a massive reproduction of HIV. We dealt with that in earlier discussions of the book Emerging Viruses. Continuing. Bionetics was operating in Bethesda and Africa at the same time Autrag was there. There's got to be more proof. This is Len Horowitz basically musing to himself. Continuing, I consider that almost a decade after Maneker and others at the NCI and Merck received federal funding to study EBV, BL, and nasopharyngeal cancer, Lytton Bionetics was marketing a test kit based on their research. This was the third time I discovered that taxpayer-supported NCI grants had funded pharmaceutical developments from which private concerns were now capitalizing. It seemed most plausible the same had been done with the AIDS test. To confirm my suspicions, I placed a call to the Frederick Cancer Research Center from a nearby phone booth. I was told by an administrator that Bionetics Research Lab had been involved in developing an AIDS test and that it had sold the product to a private concern. Soon thereafter, Lytton also sold Bionetics Research Labs to MedPath, among the largest medical laboratories in the United States. Lytton Bionetics, I was also informed, was still involved in administering funds for the NCI. It now seemed even more plausible that Lytton Bionetics, having managed Fort Detrick's cancer virus research for so many years, might have managed OTRAG's mutant virus program and the CIA's Project MK Naomi as well. Besides Triumph Adler and Diehl Data Systems, Lytton's SEC reports noted other connections to West German companies in the aerospace industry. Lytton's Advanced Electronic Systems division billed itself as, quote, the world's leading supplier of aircraft inertial navigation systems, or INS, and a major producer of U.S. cruise missile guidance hardware, unquote. In 1977, the company had outfitted, quote, West Germany's Alpha close air support jets with Doppler radar navigation systems, unquote, and acknowledged LITEF, the Freiburg West Germany-based military contractor, for having, quote, increased its business volume by more than 20%, unquote. The purchase was pursuant to a combat aircraft guidance system that a consortium of British, German, and Italian companies were building for various customers. Then the division disclosed its sales to NATO of missile guidance and satellite reconnaissance technology. Data Systems, another Lytton industry subdivision, the report said, gained major follow-up on business on its NATO Integrated Command System Telegraphic Automatic Relay Equipment contract, which calls for the integration of computers, teletypes, video displays, and other peripheral units into a communications network linking NATO members in Europe and North America. Deliveries begin in calendar year 1979, and the system becomes operational in the 1980s, when current processing methods will be unable to keep up with the projected number of transmissions. In addition, the company boasted sales to AMECOM, A-M-E-C-O-M, which began production on a major contract for an airborne system that senses sources of enemy ground-based radiation, determines the signal's direction, and locates potential anti-aircraft artillery or missile threats. Designated TEREC, or Tactical Electronic Reconnaissance, it will be the first operational tactical reconnaissance system deployed in quantity by the U.S. Air Force. Such technology, I realized, would have served OTRAG's needs. Exactly. Realizing that tactical reconnaissance was exactly what Kissinger had urged CIA forces in Zaire to deploy against the MPLA in Angola, recognizing that aerial surveillance was what USAID had requested from NASA to help with, quote, agriculture, unquote, and, quote, water management, unquote, in Central Africa, knowing that the Federal Republic of Germany was a partner in Skylab, wherein, quote, one of Skylab's most significant payload components was its Earth Resources Experiment Package, a complement to ERTS-1, the Earth Resources Technology Satellite launched in 1972, and the State Department acknowledged that plans for similar stations are underway in Africa, and knowing that the United States and Germany were reducing NATO costs by coordinating their military and scientific programs to reduce duplication efforts, it seemed most plausible that Litton Divisions had supplied AUTRAG with a mix of aerospace hardware, software, and germ warfare products needed to carry out the multiple military missions Kissinger defined as urgently needed in Central Africa. And that pretty much sums up and presents most of the meat concerning AUTRAG, again, which may or may not have been involved in the development of AIDS and other immune-destroying viruses, as Mr. Belitsky charged, but which certainly is a fascinating piece of work and an entity which constitutes not only an apparent and quite possibly illegal NATO operation, but which has roots going directly back to the Third Reich, and which may, if some of the speculation concerning its viral research is accurate, have been involved in effecting similar machinations right up to the contemporary period. And that concludes our discussion of AUTRAG. Again, I've been reading from the book Emerging Viruses, subtitled AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. It's published in hardcover by Tetrahedron Incorporated, that's Tetrahedron, and copyright 1996. There's an 800 number that you can call in order to obtain Emerging Viruses or have a retail book outlet call. It's 1-800-336-9266. That's 1-800-336-9266. If some of the discussion appeared somewhat referential, suffice it to say that Emerging Viruses is well over 500 pages long. I've been engaging in speculative discussion concerning AIDS as a possible biological warfare weapon for many years, and interested listeners are encouraged to either pursue the book itself, that is to say Emerging Viruses, and or some of the relevant tapes, such as the October 20th, 1996 symposium featuring Dr. Nicholson, Dr. Horowitz, Dr. Alan Cantwell, author of AIDS and the Doctors of Death, Dr. Garth Nicholson, and Ed Haslam, author of Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus. Also, people can contact Spitfire about RFA-16. Spitfire is a tape duplication service that stocks all of the tapes that I've produced. Now, they are now carrying the archive tapes, as well as the half-hour segments, the interviews that I've done on the weekly One Step Beyond shows. Spitfire is one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, and you can reach them at Post Office Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Once again, that's Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. There's also an email address, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, that's one word, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. Again, that's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E at ix.netcom.com. People have inquired about other means of political journalism in the process of launching. I cannot discuss this on the air in any detail because this is a for-profit venture. If you'd like to find out more about it, and there have been many inquiries, write to Other Means, care of P.O. Box 191710, San Francisco, California, 94119-1710. That's Other Means, P.O. Box 191710, San Francisco, California, 94119-1710. There's also an email address that you can contact Other Means at, demory@well.com. That's demory@well.com. Listeners who have inquired must please bear with me. This is not something that I can discuss in any detail on the air. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.